scripture reading for this morning's worship service is found from the book of Psalms in Psalm 37. We'll read the entire psalm together. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. That concludes our scripture reading this morning. Let us now call upon the name of the Lord congregational prayer. Lord God in heaven, great God, the creator of the heavens and of the earth, the only God, the only true God, the God who has made us and not we ourselves, the God by whom we live and move and have our being, the God who has indeed ruled this world and does rule this world, to whom all must one day bow to. O Lord, Thou art God, and Thou art great, and Thou art so good also. We must testify of that also as we have gathered together in this morning hour, that it is all because of Thy goodness, that Thou hast not left us to ourselves, that hast not raised us aside from the church, but Thou hast raised us in the church and brought us also to this place of worship to hear Thy word, to hear the gospel week after week. Lord, Thou hast been so good also in giving us families and loving homes and friends who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do thank Thee for all Thy goodness is to us. And yet, O Lord, in light of all Thy goodness as well, help us each to realize that Thou art the God who we have also sinned against, who we have sinned in all the good things which Thou hast given to us. We are fallen through Adam, and each and every day and week and also of this past week, we have again sinned against Thee by sins of commission and sins of omission in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds. Wilt Thou help us to realize, let it sink in, even for the first time we pray, that we are sinners before Thee, and that we must also one day appear before Thee and give an account. Lord, let it sink in by the work of Thy Spirit that we must be right with the Lord God before our death. Lord, we do therefore pray earnestly for Thy Holy Spirit to pervade the congregation and to work in home to home and heart to heart. We do pray for Thy Spirit to show each one his great need or her great need for a Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. And wilt Thou also by Thy Spirit lead each one to Him, to not trust in ourselves anymore, but to trust outside of ourselves and in the Lord Jesus alone, for He alone it is that we can be right with Thee. Lord, we do thank Thee so much for Him, for what He has come to do, that Thou hast sent Him by Thy love, and that in with His love He has come to do what Thou hast decreed for Him to do, even to suffer and to die on the cross, to pay the wages of sin, to remove the curse, to bear Thy wrath, the full cup of Thy eternal wrath against sin. Lord, we do thank Thee that He has done what we could not do and can never do. And so wilt Thou persuade us by Thy Spirit to trust and serve Him. Lord, wilt Thou be also with all the redeemed among us. And we do thank Thee and trust that there are many among us who by Thy grace do confess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who do have to say with the Apostle Peter, "To whom else shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Lord, we do pray for Thy believing people. Wilt Thou help each one of us to be Christians in this world, to be Christians in this day, and to be Christians in this week ahead of us as well. Wilt Thou help us to act Christianly in all that we do at all times. Wilt help us to be a shining light in a dark world. Help us to consciously be Christians. And help us to also not be so fretful and so anxious as the world so often is, but help us to be examples to the world of people who have peace with God. Oh Lord, we do pray that Thou so teach us this morning how to live Christianly, how to overcome fret and envy and anxiety. Lord, wilt Thou help us to learn to trust in the Lord, to delight in the Lord, to commit our way to the Lord each and every day. Lord, we do pray for those also with special medical conditions regarding anxiety as well. Lord, wilt thou help them also to profit from thy word in this morning, that they too may indeed see the blessing of these simple but difficult instructions. And so, O Lord, wilt thou go before us in this worship service and also hear the needs of the congregation too. Lord, there are many and many that are not known as well. Wilt thou remember each one in thy tender mercy and provide and sanctify each affliction, we do pray. We do rejoice with those who have received children. We do rejoice with Jason and Sherilyn Rosendahl, and we do pray that all may be well. We do pray for Sherilyn also in particular, who has been in the hospital with an infection, but we thank thee that she could now be home once again. Wilt thou help her little one too, and her little family be with Jason too. We do pray indeed that they may fear the Lord in this home. We do pray for Derek and Leanda Vandermeerel as well, who have received their first child. Lord, what a good and happy occasion that is, and we do pray that thou give them all that they need and help them in this learning curve in their life. Help them to be faithful in raising their precious child in the fear of the Lord. Lord, we do pray as well for all parents among us, that we may all take our calling seriously in raising our children to the best of our abilities. Lord, we do pray for those who have had accidents in this past week also, as we have heard. Wilt thou, we thank thee that thou hast spared them. Wilt thou make all things well, and wilt thou help each one to realize how short our time is on this earth and how fragile our lives can be and how differently things could have turned out. Wilt thou give thankful hearts. And for those who have been in accidents, if they do not yet confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that thou wilt use this in their life for that. We pray for those who have been in the hospital and those who have been sick in this past week. Lord, wilt thou heal them? Wilt thou care for them as a tender, caring Father who cares for us? We have Josh DeHaan too. We do thank thee for him that he could now be a new member of this congregation. Wilt thou help him to be a faithful member and to love the Lord God of Israel, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve him with all his heart and all his mind as well and all his strength. Lord, be with us all, and this morning we pray, help us in listening and in speaking. Work among us by thy Spirit, and though keep distractions far from us, be also with Pastor Mordyke on vacation. Grant him a good and refreshing time with his family, and renew his labors here again in the week to come. We do pray these things with the forgiveness of our sins, and for Jesus' sake, amen. Your congregation and also children, you all know King David, a great king, a godly king, but a king who faced much difficulty in his life and in his reign as well, much difficulty. He faced, for example, many wars, many enemies, much opposition by ungodly men, even men from his own family. We think of Absalom, for instance. David was a person who knew difficulty. He had many difficult times to go through. And throughout his life, really, the opportunity was so great for David to live a life of continuous fret, of continuous worry, or of angry frustration even. He had the opportunity to be so full of envy, which is great burning jealousy of how others may seem to live. And how was he to combat these temptations, these common reactions of man? You know, we also live in difficult times. You would surely agree with me on that. Ever since sin entered into the world, mankind has lived in difficult times. We all know what this is. We all know what difficulties are. We have all had physical difficulties. Difficulties with our health, and so on. We also have spiritual difficulties. We struggle, for instance, to overcome sin. People might struggle with assurance. We can have financial difficulties in making ends meet. We can experience all sorts of difficulties in our life. And how do we then not fret over each situation, whether it's big or small? How do we not envy or wish we had it easier like others seem to have it? How do we not become so frustrated, so jealous, so miserable? How can we instead be peaceful? Have rest and peace in our minds and in our souls? Well, there are several means towards this. I won't mention them all. I think of what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer." Very good instruction. But now, in total agreement with that, David reminded himself, and he instructs us today as well, to do this: to trust in the Lord, to delight in the Lord, and to commit to the Lord. And we truly cannot do any of these things without what Paul said, without prayer, without God's continual help, which we need to pray for. So we can say we are to trust in the Lord and pray for help in the difficult task of trusting. We are to delight in the Lord and pray for help in the difficult task of delighting in the Lord at times. We are to commit everything to the Lord and pray for God's grace to help us to do that when it is so difficult to do at times. We have to trust in the Lord, delight, and commit to the Lord. And we see that in our text this morning from Psalm 37 and verses 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. And it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And then the fifth verse, commit thy way unto the Lord. And very simply and rather unoriginally, our theme is how to be at rest in difficult times. How to be at rest in difficult times. And our points are straight from our text. We've mentioned them already. Trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit to the Lord. We have to, first of all, trust in the Lord. And this trust in the Lord has to be, for one thing, a saving trust in the Lord. To be at real rest in our lives, in our circumstances, also in facing the eternal future, we first of all need this saving trust, this saving faith in the Lord. We cannot be at real rest here and now, or for the future, if we don't have this. We cannot be content with life. We cannot be content with the prospect of death if we don't have a right relationship with God. People can say they are at rest. They can pretend to be at rest. They can even think they are at rest. They can somehow not let things bother them. They can say they're prepared to die. And all the while, the Lord Jesus Christ means nothing to them. These people are really deceiving themselves. They don't have real rest. And as long as they are not in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, they are deceiving themselves. Even though they might not be fretting, and they might not be envying, the rest or the peace which they might be enjoying, it's not real. It's evil. It's evil rest. It's wicked rest. It's deceitful rest. And it's rest which will ultimately lead to eternal unrest. And that's very logical, isn't it? Because if God is the one who ushers people into the eternal rest, well, then we better be right with Him, or we will go to eternal unrest for the condemning of our sins. And therefore, to have real rest in this life and in the life to come, we must have a saving trust in the Lord, particularly in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe in Him for salvation, not in ourselves, but in Him. We must be repentant of our sins, and we must trust in Him. We must depend on Him for eternity, for the forgiveness of our sins. And it is my prayer that the Spirit of God would accomplish this, that He would so work in this congregation as well, taking away in your lives all other hopes for finding rest. That He would also show you the error of your way of trying to find rest and peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. And may He so lead you to Him and to rest on what Christ has done, which alone is sufficient to take away the penalty of your sin. And so are you trusting in the Lord with a saving trust by the grace of God? Are you? If you are, if this is what you must confess, well, then to God be the glory. Not yourselves, not to anyone, but to God be the glory, because faith, we read, is the gift of God. Praise the Lord. And then, if you are one who has the saving trust, well, then you also have the prerequisite for being at real rest throughout your entire life in the difficulties also which you face. If you don't have saving trust, you don't have real rest for time or for eternity. You cannot. And though unbelievers might prosper now, yet if they die unbelieving, they will be cut down. I emphasize that as I was reading the psalm. Many times it says, and the wicked shall be cut down. They shall be cut down. They shall perish. You won't look for them. You won't find them. That's what will happen to them. To be at real rest through life then and its difficulties, we must first of all have a saving trust in the Lord. But also, dear believers, to have this rest in our difficulties practically in our life, we must also then have a practical trust. And this practical trust is really the fruit of saving trust. We are not only to trust for salvation, as important as that is, but believers are to trust and depend on God in all of the circumstances of life. We are to trust that God really is as He says He is. He's for us and not against us. We have to trust practically that He is working all things together for our good. He really is because He said He is. We have to trust that God is faithful for Christ's sake. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. We'll see more of that this evening, the Lord willing. We are to trust these things. Trust God. Not only when everything is going well, humanly speaking, but even when things are clearly not going well. Instead of fretting, envying, and worrying, and getting angry with God, perhaps doubting that God will provide, we must trust in the Lord. I think of the example of the Shunammite woman. Boys and girls, you might recall that story in 2 Kings 4, the story of the Shunammite woman and her little boy. Everything was not going well for this woman. What a poor woman. What a terrible situation she was in. You might recall the story. Her little boy goes out to work with his dad, and he has a pounding sore head. And so he comes home to his mother and sits on her lap, and he dies on her lap. This is her only child. What an awful situation. It's one of the most terrible, tragic things which can happen to anyone, losing a child, especially an only child. And yet here she is. It's amazing. It's utterly amazing. When she was asked, "How are you doing?" this is what she said. It is well. It is well. I just lost a child. It is well. Amazing. She was given extra grace indeed. That was totally going against the world's reason. But it is by trusting against the world's reasoning like this that we can have real rest and peace within in our difficulties. This is a practical trust. How are you doing in the area of practical trust? How are you doing, dear believers? I think this is something that we all have to bow in shame over, and myself very much included. Because this practical trust is so very small at times, it seems. Thanks be to God, though, that His faithfulness does not depend on the level of our practical trust. And yet this is what we are called to grow in and to live like. This is what we must pray for. This is how we can enjoy more rest in difficult times. Trust in the Lord. But our text goes on and it says, trust in the Lord and do good. And so we have to also have a good doing trust, thirdly. Many people in this world, when they face difficulties, they don't do good. They respond poorly. And they do evil. And yes, even people who have a saving trust in the Lord can fall into doing evil in their circumstances. Not only can we fret and envy, but we can try to take matters into our own hands. And we can get angry. We can retaliate. We can hurt people by our actions even, let alone by our words. We can resort to some sinful escape route, some addictions perhaps. But what peace does all that bring? It doesn't really bring peace. It's foolish, it's vain, it's wrong. But rest, for rest in daily life, we are to trust and do good, it says. Trust and do good by obeying the Lord. By being like the Lord. By being Christ-like. Obeying God's commands. Seeking to bear the fruits of the Spirit. To be really like Christ on this earth. The more we are like Him, the more we will have peace. Like Him, who is the Prince of Peace. So we are to seek to obey. But this good doing trust isn't only talking about obedience. It's also talking about actually seeking to do good in this world. To do good to others, as Jesus did as well. We read in the Gospels, He went, wherever He went, He did good. He healed people. He helped people. Even if all we can do is pray for others, dear seniors, that is still doing good. And so that is what you have to do. And isn't this true that when we do good, this really does help prevent envy and fret, and it fosters rest and peace instead? And why is that? Well, it is because then our minds are taken off of our circumstances for a bit. We get out of our own little world, and we get into someone else's world. We can feel even useful in helping them rather than feeling all alone. And loving others in this way is also another fruit, isn't it, of that saving trust. David explains that all this trusting in the Lord is a blessed trust. That's another thing we see here. It is a blessed trust. We read at the end of verse 3, "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." That is the result. He says, "You will dwell in the land." He's here picking up language from earlier in the Old Testament, where there is much talk, you know, of the land of Canaan, the promised land, a land of plenty, a land of rest. God promises that to all who savingly trust in Him, in Christ, that they will most certainly one day dwell in the heavenly Canaan, where they will be fed, where they will be preserved forever
all eternity by Himself. But also even here, in this land, in Canada, in Alberta, for all who have a saving trust in Him, who also bear fruit, who also seek to bear the fruit of practical trust and of good doing trust, we also will be entirely provided for. God is faithful to those who have a saving trust in Him. He will put none to shame. Those who trust in Him, those who have saving trust in Him, they will undoubtedly experience His eternal faithfulness. By His faithfulness, He will provide for all of our needs. Not all our wants, but all of our needs. Even to death and through all eternity. This is good news, isn't it? This is what God promises to do. We must trust in the Lord, therefore. And again, we're reminded of prayer, aren't we? Well, how we need God's help in doing this. But this isn't the only instruction that David gives. He gives one other instruction. It's our second point. He also says in verse 4, delight in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. So when we are experiencing troubles in our outward life, or in our spiritual life, or whatever, then we are reminded how little satisfaction there really is if we didn't know God. Believers often say, don't we, what would it be like if we didn't know God? How would we manage? We wouldn't have Christ as our Savior. What would we do? How would we handle our situations? How would we make it through? How do we get happy? People are always in difficult times in this world. They're always trying to find different ways to make them happy in difficult times. They try all sorts of things. Immoral things. They try drugs. They try crime. Maybe we should ask, what do you delight in your difficulties? What do you seek to find joy in your difficulties? Is it worldly things? Or is it really the Lord? That's what David charges us to do. Instead of fretting and envying, charges us to delight in the Lord. Instead of looking for happiness in ourselves or in this earth, he is saying, as it were, stop looking down, stop looking at your difficulties, but look up. Look up to the Lord. Look to the Lord and delight in Him. It says we would, on a sunny day, see the sunshine in the sky. We would look up. We would see the sunshine, yes. We would see also the beauty of the sunshine, the brightness of the sunshine. We have to look up and see the brightness and the beauty of the Lord. And so delight in Him. We have to delight in Him then, as Mary did in Luke 1, who said, my soul rejoices in the Lord, my Savior. Let us delight as David did in Psalm 103, who says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Let us delight in the Lord in difficult times. We have to delight in the Lord Jehovah, and our faithful God, the God of covenant promises, the God who also promises that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We delight in our triune God. Delight in Him as our Father. Our precious, heavenly, merciful, tender, caring Father who cares for His own. Let us rejoice in His fatherhood over us. Let us delight as well in God the Son. All that He has done, His great willingness to come into this world to do what He has done, what we could not do. Let us delight in the Holy Spirit, who is so patient, who is so long-suffering, who strives with the hearts of men and women. Even when we sin against the Lord, and He's dwelling in believers, He doesn't forsake us, but He stays within Let us rejoice in the Holy Spirit. So, congregation, are you looking for something to rejoice in when you are experiencing difficulty? There is really a lot of good to rejoice in. Rejoice, delight in the Lord God. We think also of His attributes. Think especially of His great mercy, giving us such rich benefits in Christ, giving us forgiveness of all our sins forever, and promising to us eternal life. Think of His attributes. We think of His words of comfort, which are in the Scriptures, which are seasonable words, words which encourage us. We think of His wise commands, that's delight in His wise commands. They really are wise, His instructions in the Scriptures. We might not always think so, but that's just what we think. What He says is indeed wise. Let us rejoice in that, what He tells us to do. Let us rejoice as well in His good will. He truly does promise that He will work all together for good to them that love God. Let us rejoice in His works. His works in Bethlehem. His works really in eternity past. His works in Bethlehem. His works on Calvary. His work in your own salvation, dear believer in Christ. Let's rejoice also in His works in helping us each and every day in this or that as well. Let's rejoice in His providence over our lives, over everything. Oh, there's so much to delight in when we seek to delight in the Lord. And if this is what we do or desire to do more of, this is a sign of grace. This is another fruit that we have saving trust, a saving relationship with God. So we must not be like those in the world who seek to find joy without God in their minds and in their hearts. We're called, dear believers, to delight in the Lord. May I ask, congregation, again, what are you delighting in? What brings you happiness? Delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can we do this more? Let's look at some means to help us in this. Some practical ways to nurture this, to enjoy God more and more, to grow in our love for Him. I think of prayer. I'll give you a number of practical ways to foster this joy in God, and one of them is prayer. We have to take time to be holy. And prayer is not only asking for this and that, it's also not only thanking God for this and that, it's communion. It's enjoying God. It's fellowship. Enjoying God for who He is and telling Him that. Let's pray. I also think of reading. Reading good books, which can encourage us about the Lord our God. I think of singing. Singing in church as well. We sing the praises of God. Let this warm our hearts, dear believers. I think of fellowshipping. How often do you have it where you're facing a difficulty and you're all alone, having a troublous time, but then someone calls you or comes and sees you, and it lifts up your spirit, it encourages you, especially if that person is a believer, and you can encourage you in the things of the Lord and in the Lord your God. You can delight in the Lord that way. I think of church itself. When you come to church, you learn about the Lord, that you may consequently rejoice in the Lord. Think of the sacraments. When you witness the sacraments, you are seeing the beautiful gospel before you. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, how wonderful is that? Must you not then also praise the Lord for His gospel? Think also of evangelizing. Yes, evangelizing. When you talk to people in your community, even in your family, yes, it can be difficult at times, but it is rewarding. It can bring you joy. It really can. And these are then some means for us to grow in and delighting, to grow in and delighting in the Lord. What is the blessing for someone who delights in the Lord from the heart? Well, David says that too at the end of the verse. He says that he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What does that mean? That he shall give you the desires of your heart. How can that be? Well, he's not saying that what your heart desires, or just anything that you desire, he will give it. But he's saying really, rather, that what your heart desires, what your renewed heart desires, what your renewed inner man desires, that is what God will delight to give. And he will give that because those are things that he desires to give as well. There is a mutual desire here, the renewed heart and the heart of God. And what does the renewed heart desire, which God also desires to give? Well, it desires, for one thing, to do God's will. To do what God wants you to do. To be obedient, to submit to His way. Believers indeed know something of what Christ's desire was, which was prophesied in Psalm 40. He said, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God." I do. Believers do delight to do the will of God. The flesh, yes, is weak, but the renewed heart desires to do God's will better. So God promises to help us in this, when we delight in Him. The renewed heart also desires, of course, to be at more rest and peace in difficult times. To have more grace and faith to deal with such times. And so God promises to supply more of that. More inner rest in dealing with our outward circumstances. More inner rest when your soul troubles you. Giving you more assurance, increasing your faith. God promises to supply such needs when we delight in Him. It is when we delight in Him. Do this, and He shall do this. Verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." God promises to give your heart's desires. Not really because of your delighting in Him. We know much better. Everything we receive is only what is merited by Christ's blood. But He promises to give the inner heart's desire simply in response to our delighting in Him. When they delight in Him. Isn't this true? Isn't this true? We're in a difficulty and we just stop. Stop and think for a moment. Discipline ourselves to do that. And delight in the Lord, isn't it true that then we really do find that we really are given more grace? That God really does help us in our difficulty. And consequently enables us to be at rest in difficult times. And so how beneficial it is, therefore, to delight in the Lord from the heart. We must pray concerning this indeed as well. God would help us in this task of delighting in Him. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart, including more rest and peace in God in difficult times. And so David, his instructions are this. Trust in the Lord and delight in the Lord. But now thirdly as well, he says, commit to the Lord. That's our third point. We see that in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And this goes together, really, with the other two instructions, especially with the instruction to trust in the Lord. And what are we to commit? Well, He says, thy way. Commit thy way. What is that? What is thy way? What does that really mean? Well, this means your whole life. It means all your circumstances, each one, specific one, and all of them, the small ones, as well as the big ones, the minor, the major, your outward life and your spiritual life, all of your circumstances, that is your way. And everyone's way, therefore, is different. Everyone's circumstances in life is different. There's no two people in the world. There's no two people in this congregation that have exactly the same circumstances in life. We all have our own way, our own circumstances. And we could even go around and ask, what is your circumstances? What are your circumstances? What is your way in life? What are you maybe troubled about in life? Outwardly or spiritually? What are you maybe fretting about or envious about? What are you maybe even perhaps angry about? Even angry with the Lord ultimately about? David says, commit it. Commit it to the Lord. How are we to do this? What does this really mean? Hebrew here is very helpful. Commit thy way in the Hebrew literally means to roll thy way upon the Lord. You think of Christian boys and girls in Pilgrim's Progress. He had that great burden on his back, and it rolled away. It rolled off of his back, and down it went. We have to take whatever burden that we have. You have to take whatever burden that you have, even your whole life, and let it just roll off of you. That's what you have to do. And when you let it roll off of you, you let it roll on to the Lord. Let it roll off onto those everlasting arms which are below all believers. Let your burden, your circumstances, your way, just let it roll off onto those mighty shoulders of God. Or onto that loving heart of God. Or into those capable hands of God. But we have every reason, don't we, to be encouraged to roll our burdens onto the Lord and to trust Him with them, that He would make all things turn out for our good indeed. Roll it away. Another way to put it is this. Let go that way. Just let it go. And trust it to the Lord. You know, we can say that we commit this or that to Him. But we often don't trust Him to really help us. But we depend more on ourselves to help. And that's not helpful. That's not the way to do it. And so look what David also conveniently says. He says again, as he said in verse 3, trust also in Him. When you commit things to Him, trust Him with it. He is most trustworthy. He will not betray us or do us harm. He is able, He is willing to help us and to do us good. So trust Him. Commit thy way to Him and trust Him. And what will be the result? Why should we really commit? See that at the end of the verse. And He shall bring it to pass. We can also say that God will act or work. And so whatever we commit to Him, He will bring it to pass. He will work it out for our spiritual good. Help us in it. Help us through it. Deliver us. Now the next verse implies He'll make our way, our circumstances turn out very well for us indeed. If not in this lifetime, then for eternity. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And this is what He really does promise. This is the promise attached to committing ourselves to the Lord. He will bless us. He will do this for all of those who have that saving trust in Him. He will provide all this help for all those who have been led by the Holy Spirit to confess their sins and to turn to Christ and believe in Him, to take Him as their own. Because Christ is the one who has merited all of God's blessings. Christ has merited God's help. And for Christ's sake, God is most willing to help us when we commit our way to Him. And when we do this, what great peace this can bring. If we would actually put this into practice and regularly commit our cares with trust to the Lord. Let me ask again, how are you doing in this? How am I doing in just committing everything to the Lord? Dear believers, what rest this can bring indeed. Not only congregation, if we commit our way, our circumstances to the Lord, but also if we trust in the Lord and delight in the Lord. This is the way to not be so miserable in life like the world can so often be. This is the way in which we can be accepting, actually, of our circumstances. This is the way that we can actually have peace with them and ultimately with God in them. This is the way to be silent in His sight. This is the way in which we are enabled to wait patiently while time moves on in our afflictions. This is triple way, showered with prayer. This is how we can find real rest. And the conclusion of the matter, it is therefore a rest that is in the Lord. It's like all these other things were in or to the Lord, so the rest, David concludes, a couple of verses later, is also rest in the Lord. Let me ask, does this describe you? Are you at rest? Are you at rest? Am I at rest? The question isn't whether we have restful and peaceful circumstances and a nice and wonderful and easy life. But even if you are walking through a storm, the question comes also to you. Are you at rest? Do you have this godly peace in your mind? Do you have peace in your soul? Simple but difficult instructions. In closing, I want to reemphasize that each one of us, first of all, need a saving relationship with God. For those who don't, oh, please remember that you are not at real rest. You are not. And the end of the ungodly will be spiritual unrest. But may God lead you. May He take hold of you, as it were, by His Spirit. May He lead us all every day to give up, as it were, and to commit our way to the Lord. May He also become our delight in Christ Jesus. May you put your trust in Him all the days of your life. That is how you and I alike may have rest in difficult days. Trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit to the Lord. Simple instructions. Simple verses. But I agree, hard to practice. Therefore, let us be on our knees every day and pray for God's grace, for the help of God's Spirit, to do what He tells us to do lovingly. Amen. Let us respond with singing from Psalter 203, verses 3, 4, and 5. 203, 3, 4, and 5.
great God in heaven, we do come to Thee at the close of this service, and we do thank Thee for it. We do thank Thee for Thy word of truth and the truth in Thy word. We do thank Thee for Thy very loving instructions to us, that we must indeed trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with a saving trust, or, as Thou dost say, we shall be cut off. Lord, we do pray for Thee to work in all the unconverted among us, but also work, we pray, greatly in the redeemed, in those who do believe by Thy grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be shining lights. Help us to put these simple but difficult instructions into practice for our own good and for Thy glory and for the good of our neighbor too. Help us, we pray. We need Thy help. Forgive us our sins also in this worship service. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.